This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. I am really looking forward to what we are going to talk about with our guest today. Before I tell you what that is, let me introduce to you Miss Jenny Owens. Jenny, hello and welcome to the show.
Hi, Katie. It's so great to be with you today.
It is great to be with you. And I think to me, it's just fun that I'm going to go ahead and start. It's fun that you live in New York City. And so right now I'm talking to you and you're actually in the Big Apple. And to me, that's so bizarre because I'm in small town East Texas, but I love that.
Well, it's super noisy. So I'm so sorry about that. But yeah, I know it is so fun how technology can connect us no matter how far away we are. And you can hear the sirens and the barking dogs outside my window, even though you're, you know, 1,000 miles away.
Well, and so on your end, it's sirens and barking dogs. And on my end, it's children. And so there's, you know, we'll roll with it because you know, it's the same for us, just in different places. Yes.
Just different kinds of noises. Yes.
Exactly. And so for those of you just meeting Jenny, let me go ahead and tell you a little more about her. Jenny Owens has spent the past 2 decades sharing her heart with listeners and readers as a singer-songwriter, author, teacher, and advocate. Her unique musical style and inspirational lyrics have transcended genre definition and taken her to diverse venues that include the White House, the Sundance Film Festival, Lilith Fair, and the National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C. Jenny has also served as a worship leader, partnered with nonprofits, and authored 2 books, the latest of which was released last year. And it is called, it was released last year. Is that right, Jenny?
Yep.
Last
it was year? Released okay. in May. Yep.
In May of 2021. Mm-hmm. And it's called Singing in the Dark, Finding Hope in the Songs of Scripture. And I mean, just that title alone, I just feel like is so perfect in representing you. And but in this book, she shares her personal story as well as stories from Scripture to take readers on a journey to find hope amidst their own challenges. She was born and raised in Jackson, Mississippi, and then moved to Nashville, Tennessee to attend Belmont University and made her home in Music City for many years. But as we just mentioned, she now lives in New York City, where she is in her final year of seminary for a Master of Biblical Studies. And now I'm just amazed that you have time to be on this podcast after after everything.
Well,
I just read.
Hey, I'm not the one with 6 kids. So my friend, I'm just impressed that you have time to create a podcast. That is just beautiful.
Oh, you're sweet. And this is just, these are some of my favorite conversations because I'll tell you, I'm always encouraged after I finish talking. And I know I've been looking forward to what we're going to talk about, Jenny, because as you and I talked about what we wanted to discuss in this interview, the word that you brought up was contentment.
Yes.
And I mean, honestly, just the word alone, it almost kind of gets you to the edge of your seat. Like this idea of contentment is, it's exciting. It's promising. You know, we just mentioned that word hope. And all of those things are kind of wrapped up in this one word of contentment. Mm-hmm. But I will say to think that contentment could actually be like a state of living also seems possibly a little far-fetched. Mm-hmm. So here's the first thing I want to ask you. Is contentment something that you believe that you have found in the sense that you live contented in your day-to-day life? And if so, I mean, have you always lived with contentment, or was there a journey that you had to go on to learn to live in contentment? What does that look like for you?
That is such a good question. I think I recognized I recognized first discontent because that was what I knew so much about. And so I would say today I live learning to practice contentment, learning how to move to a place of contentment. But I do think it's a discipline, you know, kind of like It's a beautiful discipline, but it's a discipline kind of like meeting with God or eating our kale or whatever. You know, contentment is not something that just happens to us. It is something that we get to go and do. And I think we do it when we meet with God. I think meeting God with God is the first place where we or kind of ground zero for our contentment. But yeah, I've spent years kind of being discontent and thinking the next thing that I achieved would bring contentment. I'm sure like that's kind of all of our story on some level, right? But you know, I think so. I lost my eyesight when I was 3 years old, and so one of the things that I figured out, I started to write songs early on, maybe when I was 7 or 8. I began to really develop a love for songwriting, and I loved playing the piano and singing. And so when I was a teenager and began to share some of my songs, like I remember one time at youth group, like I had auditioned for this youth choir that we had, and our youth leader liked my song enough to ask me to sing for our youth group regularly. And I was super shy. And I think we had like maybe 500 kids in our youth group, something like that. And so super intimidating. I know, so big. And so I would sing these songs, and it was the craziest thing because, you know, people would generally be super kind of uncomfortable around me. They just didn't know what to say. And I was kind of shy, so didn't know always how to reach out to people. And I realized that music connected me with them. So as I shared my journey and the things that were going on in my life and my questions and my doubts, they could really relate to those. And so it was during that time that I realized, oh, so music is kind of the connecting point. So I'm going to be content one day, you know, if I'm successful with music. And if I learn how to connect with people in this way all of the time. So I kind of just thought that this was kind of my vehicle to, you know, being content with who I was. And I quickly learned after college and kind of thinking I was going to maybe be a music teacher and then kind of do my own songs on the side. I ended up getting signed to a record label, which was a huge surprise for me. Not something I longed for, but not something I ever thought would happen. And so ended up signing with a label at the time called Rocket Town Records, which was owned by Michael W. Smith. And some listeners might've heard of him. But I remember just thinking, okay, we're on the path now to contentment. Everything mm-hmm. is going well. And I was, you know, kind of early 20s, was traveling and found that process or that experience to be in some ways rewarding because I was getting to share music, but mostly really lonely because it's a lot of, you know, long nights and long days of travel and just a little bit of singing somewhere in there. And a lot of, you know, interacting with new people, which is very awesome and very fun, unless you're an introvert. And then after a while you run out of words. So I remember just kind of thinking, oh Lord, I'm not feeling the contentment, you know? And so I could trace you through many experiences of my life where I kept trying to work harder and really became defined by my work. Mm-hmm. Even as I sang Christian music and sang that it was all about Jesus, I was very much defined in some ways, not by Jesus, but by my music and how well people connected with it and how much they liked me because of it. So needless to say, because I wasn't, you know, really resting in Jesus and laying all of my concerns and my fears and my, you know, just all of this on him, I was actually carrying it and just trying to be defined by, you know, these, you know, my music and what others said. So that led to some pretty serious burnout. Which came around the time my mom was diagnosed with cancer, with advanced breast cancer. And so, being the kid with the job that can be done from anywhere, if as long as there's an airplane, I moved home to kind of take care of her for a while. And, you know, just found even then just my, you know, deep concern for her was, keeping me from being content, not resting in the Lord that I was, who I was singing about all the time. Mm-hmm. And it was around that time that I found some verses that really just, I don't know, they just gave me a new perspective. You know, I had grown up in the church, as we talked about, and I just, you know, loved Jesus from an early age. But Paul says in Philippians 4, which if you are going through some tough stuff in your life, I would say meditate on the words in Philippians 4, like especially 4 to 13, and it will definitely begin to turn your heart toward contentment. But I remember reading those words just in the heaviness and darkness of mom having cancer, and the words that say, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then of course he goes on to talk about, I've learned the secret of contentment no matter what happens. You know, the secret is basically, the secret is Christ in me, as Elizabeth Elliot said, not me in a different set of circumstances. And so I just loved learning these verses because, of course, when you read these verses, you kind of think, okay, wow, this is different. I've not thought about these verses before. And then you realize the context, like Paul is in prison. He's talking to some Christians who are really suffering, really going through it. And he's saying, no, you can be joyful. You can be content. So that was really for me when I started to investigate, okay, what does Paul know about our Christian faith that I don't know? Like, what has he learned about Jesus that I really, really want to know? And that really started me moving toward contentment.
I want to repeat one thing that you just said, because I've never heard this, but it was kind of a wow moment for me when you said the secret to contentment is Christ in me, not me in different circumstances. Okay, so that right there, I think, is worth writing down. Like, if you're listening, and I've said this before, we're not all people who journal or write things down, but and I'm raising my hand as I say that. But that's one of those things, like, write it down, because you'll need it again. Even if you don't need it today, or maybe you need it today, but you'll also need it next week too. But the secret to contentment is Christ in me, not me in different circumstances. And I love that. And there are a couple of things that you said, because I want to get into, I want you to share what you've learned when you started digging into what does Paul know about Jesus and walking with him that led to this, you know, I've learned the secret of being content. I want to get into that. But before we do that, for those who heard you say, if you are in a situation right now that is difficult, where you aren't finding contentment and you desire to find it, and you said meditate on these scriptures in Philippians 4, could you take us through that process of what that looked like for you when you were meditating on those scriptures? Because, you know, maybe there's someone listening who doesn't quite know how to begin meditating on those scriptures in Philippians 4. What's just a practical way to do that?
Oh, wow. That's such a great question. I think there are a few ways to do it, especially as you're getting started. One of the things that I really love to do is to memorize verses. So maybe a starting point would be to read these verses over and over, and then choose one of them to kind of reflect on all day, memorize it, sing it to yourself, write it out again and again. So maybe it's Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. And then just that whole verse about, you know, go to God with your prayer and petition and with your thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and present your request to him. So it's looking at that verse, it's memorizing it. The beautiful thing is when we memorize scripture, it speaks back to us, mm-hmm. all the time. It's in our memory. So it comes to us when we need it. The Holy Spirit uses it in amazing ways. But I think then looking at these words, like looking at, so the first phrase, like, do not be anxious about anything. So we might start by saying, What can I praise God for when I read this? I can praise God that he has made it possible for me to not be anxious. Like, this is actually a possible thing because of him. And then you think about Jesus. And so how is it possible? Well, it's possible because Jesus has paid for all of my sins, all of my anxieties. Jesus alone defines me. I don't have to be defined by others in this world, the cares of this world. So you take each section of the verse. That might be a really easy way to just start. Take each, and then the next part says, but in everything by prayer and petition. So you could even stop there and say, in everything? In absolutely everything, do I really? So I praise God because he has said, he has made a way that in no matter what I'm facing, I come to him with prayer. And not just with worship, but with petition. I get to ask him for whatever I need. So it's kind of slowly mulling over each of those phrases. Some people do it like word by word. You just meditate on every word of the verse. So, but I would say even to start just meditating on phrases at a time and just what can I praise, you know, what can I praise God for in this? How does this verse show me Jesus? You know, how does this verse show me that my life can be different because of who God the Father is, because of what Jesus has done? You know, how is the Spirit working this in me right now? So I think it's about going slowly. It's about being with it, thinking about it all day, having it in the back of your mind, writing it on some post-it notes and sticking them in places, you know, so you have these words, you know, looking or staring back at you. Wait, how does that work? The words right. don't stare. You're staring at the words. I don't know.
I totally knew what you meant. Yes. I'm okay with personifying the words.
Yes. Words have eyes. Woo.
Yes. Yeah. No. But I also love that you just said go slowly, because I think sometimes we just, okay, I want to meditate on this and be done with it and reap the benefits. Right. And so we're almost just trying to do it and get it over with. Right. And so I love that you reminded us that this isn't a process to rush. That to truly, you know, in the Bible study that I wrote, She Smiles Without Fear, one of the things that we talk about in Psalms 119, when the psalmist talks about meditating on the Word of God, it is connected, or it carries the idea of a cow chewing its cud. It's kind of that picture where it continues the cow, you know, in chewing the cud, the cow brings back up what it has already chewed and it chews on it again for the sake of getting all of the nutrients and all of the nourishment out of that bite. And that's what we do with God's word, is that we chew on it. And if anybody who's listened to the podcast, I say this all the time about chewing, because that's where we really get all that the Word of God has to offer us, is when we rush through it. I mean, I'm getting off track here, but like, we have a dog that we give her food. You know, like at Christmas, she gets some leftover turkey and she doesn't even chew it. It's like she swallows it like we swallow Tylenol, you know?
Yep.
And we're like, Eve, you didn't even taste it.
Yes. Like, you're so in a hurry to get it. You're like, yes.
Was it even good? Now it's gone. Did you enjoy it? And so sometimes, I know that's kind of silly, but sometimes I think we can approach God's word like that. Like, there's so much good here that we can enjoy if we'll just slow down and chew on it. So I love that you brought that up. And so now that hopefully as you're listening, you kind of have that place to begin. Jenny, I'd love for you to go into, as you kind of dug in more, to say, okay, what does he know that causes him to come to the conclusion that he can be content in any circumstance, that he has found the secret to contentment? What did you learn that you can share with us?
Yeah, well, so many things, but a few of the things that began to become really obvious as I continue to read over this is Paul's view of Jesus is always bigger than his view of his problems. Like, Paul just has this beautiful wide and wild sense of who Jesus is, who Jesus is for him, who Jesus is in his life. And I mean, we got to remember, Paul was just this awful dude. He was, you know, this very uber religious Jew, right? And then he was persecuting Christians and hated them with such a vengeance, which was also, even if you were not a Christian and you were a Jew, that's counter to Jewish law, but just hated with a vengeance. But Jesus came to him, right? And so he knows Jesus is true. He has experienced Jesus firsthand. So it's almost like that truth of Jesus really has set him free. So Jesus is bigger than his circumstances. And I think part of that is because he has had a firsthand encounter, you know, with Jesus as Jesus has changed him on the road to Damascus. But I do think for some of us, the truth doesn't set us free. That truth doesn't change us. We forget how, wow, Jesus really is real. He really is walking with us. He really does not only care about our circumstances, but he's not surprised by them. It's not like, oops, this was not supposed to happen to you. Certainly it's a whole different discussion about how we can, you know, walk down roads that we don't need to walk down, but he's still there. He still wants to redeem us. He's still never surprised by anything. And so I think that truth had just compelled Paul to, it was so big in his mind, you know, it was so powerful that he could walk through anything. He could walk through whatever circumstances he faced with hope. So I do think for us that is, again, something that we get to meditate on is the truth of Jesus. That's why when we look at scripture, we want to say, how does this verse show me that Jesus is true? Like, what does it show me about his power? Or I think it's another thing that we see is that Paul is thankful, just extraordinarily thankful to God. I mean, the whole book of Philippians is pretty much a joy session from prison to Christians who are kind of this new church, and they're like all different classes and races, and they're starting to experience the first waves of persecution, and they're like, oh gosh, how do we do this? We're new at all this. But it's joy. And I think part of that is because, you know, gratitude, thankfulness to Jesus was driving his contentment. And gratitude for us, I think, is a very tangible way of unlocking contentment. Like one of the things I've started to do is at night or sometimes in the morning, I will write down my list of gratitudes, you know, whether it's thank you for Jesus or whether it's thank you for providing, you know, X today. I think just our hearts warm to God, right? As we do that, we're like, oh wow, he really is here. And then look back on those lists. Oh my goodness. You're like, wow, every day, God has not missed a day of taking care of me. Mm-hmm. Jesus has not missed a day of being present with me. So I think Paul teaches us that as well. And that's what he says, right, in these verses, that as we are thankful, peace will follow. So we thank God, we ask, and peace will follow. And it's not like a probably peace will follow. He promises that. He says, and peace that surpasses all understanding is going to follow and is going to protect you, guard your mind and your heart in Jesus. So those are a few of my favorite ways that we see Paul's contentment.
As you're talking about this, I'm reminded of something that I read just this morning in a devotional book that I have. It's called New Morning Mercies. Is that something you heard of that?
Yes, I'm reading that too right now.
Are you really?
I don't know which day I'm on, but yes, I love that.
So it's Paul David Tripp is the author. But one of the things that he talked about this morning as I read was that sometimes we can take the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and we can make it something that happened in the past and something that has promise for the future. So like Jesus died on the cross and conquered the grave so that my sins are forgiven and I am redeemed. That happened already. And then we can say with certainty and confidence that I have eternal life in Jesus waiting for me in heaven. But we miss the good news for today. which I feel like is so much of what you're speaking to when it comes to contentment, because it's not something that Jesus did for me and that will happen for me in my future. But today we're just stuck with today. Right. Instead, yeah. It like the words that you were just saying, like Jesus is with me. He is walking with me. He is not surprised by what is happening. He is my provider. He is going to guard my heart and my mind. And he is waiting with peace for today and contentment for today. And I feel like that's so much of what you're speaking to is like, it wasn't just that he died on the cross and rose from the grave thousands of years ago. And it's not just that he has prepared a place for me in eternity. Today is a part of the gospel of Jesus, and we can live in that contentment. And I love like the joy session, you know, no matter what our circumstances, and there's such hope in that. I mean, it's exciting just to talk about. And so there's still so much I want to ask you, but we're getting close to time. So let me ask you this, Jenny, if you could give me and our listeners, maybe just a bit of a process. You know, I want to go back all the way to the beginning when you said the first thing you noticed was your discontentment. Mm-hmm. So what kind of the springboard for all of this was becoming aware of the discontentment that you were living in or walking in. So can you take us from it, maybe point A to point B? Like you recognize the discontentment. What do you do next to begin this journey of living contented in Christ?
Yeah. Oh, such a good question. You know, I think every day it's maybe a practice you do again and again each day. It's not something that's ever completed this side of heaven, I don't think. But I think part of it is beginning with prayer and asking God. Asking the Spirit to speak, to move in your heart. And then I really find it helpful sometimes to write things down. I'm with you. I'm not always a journaler, or I know some of us aren't always journalers, but I do find writing these things out helps me to kind of clarify what I'm thinking and how I'm feeling. And so, you know, if we're starting to kind of feel, well, even if we're not, I think, you know, even in the morning, having a time of prayer and asking the Spirit to come and show us our hearts and the state of our hearts and how we need to change. That's always the place to begin. And then I think it's either writing down or just making note of how am I discontent right now? Mm-hmm. What am I longing for? What do I feel like I'm missing? Mm-hmm. Maybe what am I resenting? Mm-hmm. You know, ooh, where
those are some good questions.
You know, and the questions we don't really want to ask, but yeah. I think, you know, as we write those things down, or as we just acknowledge those to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and ask him to change our hearts. And then as we've been talking about, I think it's also then we have to fill our hearts with him. And it's like we were talking about with scripture. It's not something we don't read scripture to check off a box, which is why we don't want to do it in a hurry. Mm-hmm. You know, we read scripture because this is where the one who loves us most speaks to us. And so going into scripture and just, you know, reading verses, thinking on verses that show us how he is our Father or how Jesus is walking with us, and kind of picking an aspect of our Christian faith to think about as we're reading those verses. Like I go through the McShane plan, which is like read, you know, a few chapters from several different books each of the Bible each morning. And what I like about it is it kind of gives you the bigger picture of the Bible, but you can trace the Lord's hand through it, or you can trace Jesus through it. So it's really cool to think about, like, as you read whatever passage of scripture you read, think about one thing all the way through, like, how does God provide in these, all of these scriptures, you know, and withhold, or maybe you think, how is God's love evident, or how is God as a father seen in the scripture. But you kind of think and meditate on that as you're reading through the scripture and, you know, just talking to God and giving him your discontent. Mm-hmm. Because I do think if I have learned nothing else, it's that in the giving over, in the surrendering of that discontented state, of that, you know, discontentment that we're feeling, he will change our hearts. He will move us toward him. He longs to do that. He delights to do that. Mm-hmm. So if we're asking for it, he's definitely going to do it.
I love it. And so simple, like ask for it. We can all do that. can all do that. So Jenny, thank you so much for this very life-giving and encouraging conversation. I've just been sitting over here with a smile the whole time, and you have just been such a blessing to me. I know to those who are listening, they would say the same. So thank you so much for being here today, Jenny, and for having this conversation with us about contentment.
Well, thank you, Katie. It's awesome to chat with you about it and to hear your ideas and thoughts on contentment as well.
Thank you. And for those of you who joined us today, we're so glad that you were able to be a part of this conversation, to pull up a chair at this table. And I just pray that as you have listened, that you have one thing that you can take away with you today and apply to your life to help today be your best day ever. Thank you for joining us.